There's a news item that says, professor calls for breeding human-chimp chimeras. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dr. Ann Gager, who, among other things, has done some postgraduate work at Harvard. She has a PhD in zoology, and she's an author, and she's with the Discovery Institute. And we're going to talk about this idea of human-chimp chimeras and especially the ethics about it. So, Dr. Gager, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
My privilege.
Okay, so tell us, what is a chimera?
Okay, your listeners probably are familiar with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And there were creatures in that book that were chimeras. They were half goat, half human, like Mr. Tumnus, or half horse, half human, like the centaurs. Those are chimeras from mythology. The problem is that now people are trying to make them real.
And I understand there's a story about this. In fact, there's a University of Washington emeritus professor of psychology named David Barash. And he said, quote, he'd like to see this happen successfully because, quote unquote, human beings are uniquely created in God's image and endowed with a soul, end of quote. That's a myth that he wants to be shattered by these half, you know, human, half ape creatures.
Yeah, he has a strong dislike of Christianity. I would say hatred is probably more accurate. He blames us for all kinds of animal cruelty, which is, on the face of it, ridiculous, because I would say that it's more likely that Christians are responsible for animal welfare movements than animal cruelty. Animal cruelty you can blame on human greed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's... go ahead.
So he wants to establish in our minds as Christians that we are nothing but animals. And because we can be hybridized with a chimp, therefore we're nothing but animals. And we should give up this idea that we're made in the image of God.
Yeah, then this is really worldviews in conflict, because the Judeo-Christian teaching, of course, you just said it right there, that we're made in the image of God, that we're the pinnacle of creation. So let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Since you're a biologist and you've studied a lot about zoology and so forth, what are your thoughts in terms of what we find in the actual world as it is when it comes to human exceptionalism? Is it just some sort of Christian myth or Judeo-Christian myth, or is it something we find in the real world, essentially?
Yeah, it's really striking how unique human beings are. We have abilities that are quantum leaps above anything that animals do. Most striking, well, there are three that I consider very striking. One is our ability to have abstract thought. So we can do nuclear physics. We can develop the calculus. We can do molecular biology when we can't even see what we're talking about. That's one thing, our intellect. And the other is our language. Even two-year-olds can vastly surpass what a chimp can do. Our language is much more elaborate and powerful than would be necessary for survival of the fittest. You'd only have to be able to say things like, look out for that...
falling tree.
That bison over there.
Yeah.
Or, pass me the meat to survive. But instead we can write complex novels, sonnets, very elaborate language. And the last one is, let me see, language, intellect, theory of mind. We are able to perceive what another person is thinking. And although people claim that chimps and some other creatures have a theory of mind, it's not clear in the first place. But secondly, our theory of mind is much more sophisticated. So anybody who watches soap operas is able to watch the soap opera and figure out that Betty is cheating on Bill, who is also involved with the relationship with his boss at work. And the boss at work finds out that Betty is cheating, and therefore she decides to tell, you know, you can, the yeah. story gets really complex. And so you stand there and you watch the soap opera and you say, don't listen to him. You know, because you know the theory of mind, you have this idea to figure out what's going on in other people's heads.
Wait, you know, it's funny, though, when you think about it. Here we are talking about human exceptionalism, and then you draw from an example from a soap opera, which is like, you know, bringing us a couple tabs down. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah, well,
but it's funny. It's just
yeah,
funny.
That's
but
true.
It's true. I mean, it's like, you know, look at the state of American affairs right now as far as morality and stuff. And it's like, whoa, you know, from what heights we have fallen. But let's go back to the top story itself. Is there any kind of laboratory somewhere that this University of Washington emeritus professor, retired professor of psychology, actually is referring to? Is there some sort of experiment to actually kind of create a human chimp chimera, so to speak?
Not chimps and humans so far, but they have made chimeras with pigs. And the goal is to put human cells into a developing pig embryo, and let the creature grow. And they try and target the cells so that they will grow into a particular organ within the pig and end up being able to harvest the organ for transplant. The worry is, first of all, that cells might not go where they're supposed to go. They aborted the experiment out of ethical problems. The fear that the cells would end up in the pig's brain and you'd have a part human, part pig brain. It's different than what Barash is proposing. He deliberately wants to make something that's closer to 50-50 chimp-human. And he would let it go to term and use any success as an argument against our exceptionalism. It's really horrifying. The first of all, the chimera, if it made it to term, would be badly deformed because we are different enough from chimps that things wouldn't go well for the developing organism. Secondly, there would be no place for that chimera where it would be welcome, just no place at all. And if it has any ability to think, that's got to be a painful thing. And worse, Barash is willing to inflict suffering on, as he calls them, these unfortunates, in order to teach us a lesson. That reminded me of a quote I saw from one of the twins from Mengele's experiments in the concentration camps of World War II. Oof. He took twins and did experiments on them for quote-unquote science, and it gave them incredible pain and suffering, psychologically as well as physically. Years after the fact, scientists came to one of the twin survivors and said, can we use the results from those experiments to help other people? She was appalled. She was horrified. She was angry that anyone would want to use her suffering for advancing some cause. I can imagine that if such a chimera ever came to being, that it would turn to its maker and say, how dare you use my suffering to teach human beings a lesson?
Wow. This is all like the stuff of science fiction. Now, Dr. Gager, I once read an article, and I only saw it once, and I think it was in the Washington Times, maybe in the 1990s, but the article was to the effect that Joseph Stalin had actually tried to experiment or have his scientists experiment with creating half-human, half-gorilla-like warriors for the purpose of, you know, military expansion. Are you familiar with that story? And what are the, you know, what actually happened?
Yeah, it's a true story. There was a scientist named Ivanov, I think, who was expert in what's called artificial insemination. He did it, developed it for animal breeding so that you could get multiple offspring from one stallion, for example, on many mares. And he became quite expert at it. Stalin recruited him to make chimp-human hybrids. They're called not chimeras because hybrids are where you cross one species with another, like a horse and a donkey, and you get a mule. He tried. He tried both ways, with the chimp being the donor and the chimp being the recipient, and it never worked. In fact, he ended up exiled to the gulag and died a year later. It's a sign of the dehumanization of that culture, the Stalinist culture, where human beings are only seen as material objects that can be used in any way we see fit. It's the whole thing about chimeras and hybrids and cloning humans is a failure to recognize our intrinsic value and worth, our dignity, and it reflects what our culture, where our culture is in our understanding of ourselves. We have left behind the idea that we are distinctive, that we are created by God in a unique image, and left it behind and gone the way of this idea that we are simply the product of random mutation and natural selection. We are nothing more than fancy apes that evolved. Yeah. We have the same problems as animals, the same capacities as animals. We're no different. And so if we treat animals any way we want, we can treat humans any way we want.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up evolution, because evolution is like the 800-pound gorilla in the room, so to speak. I mean, no pun intended.
Yeah.
I mean, it's evolutionary assumptions that lay at the root of this. And so, again, you have worldviews in conflict. God has made us in his image, therefore man, as the pinnacle of his creation, is special, and therefore there is such a thing as human exceptionalism. But this evolutionary professor or retired professor is saying, oh, we need to bring man down a few notches. Let's go ahead and experiment with human chimp chimeras. By the way, how would they actually do that, since you said this would be different than what the Stalin doctor tried to do?
They'd take cells from an embryo, a human embryo, and cells from there are two ways. Cells from a human embryo and cells from a chimp embryo, and then combine them at an early stage to make one embryo, and then implant it in a human or a chimp female.
And this is different from cloning in the sense that the cloning is a kind of to make a reproduction. I mean, a complete replica.
This is different from cloning. Yeah, it's not taking a nucleus and implanting it in an egg so that what results is the same as the donor of the nucleus.
I see.
This is a combining of chimp and human cells. And that's the way that's been successful is instead to wait till the recipient embryo, in the case of the pig human thing, it was the pig embryo got to a certain stage where they could insert cells into that embryo, leaving it more or less intact and not trying to force a combination of cells together.
Okay, we have about 20 seconds left. What do you want to say that hasn't been said?
There's some new stuff coming out that I find very exciting, and it's evidence that there's a possibility we could have come from a first pair of two rather than having the evolutionary story where we had to come from thousands.
Wow. All right, discovery.org for more information. Dr. Ann Gager's been our guest. Gager is spelled G-A-U-G-E-R. Thank you, Dr. Gager. Always a pleasure. Appreciate it.
Thank you.